As you may be aware, there is a push in the community to build a brand new school. The Facilities Advisory Committee recently met with the Siusaw School Board, and the school board voted to put it up for a vote on a referendum coming up on May 19th. Well, not everybody is for a new school, and a spokesperson for those against is David Twombly, and he is with me this morning. And I don't know if you want to just start right off and tell me your thoughts on this, or if you want me to ask you specific questions. But what is the main thing you're seeing out there that you think the community should know?
Well, I think the biggest outcry that I heard is that, you know, housing affordability. We hear it all the time, you know, from the federal level, state level, county level, and obviously right here in Florence, is that we don't have affordable housing. So, you know, I got 9 grandkids that are going to go through that whole school program. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of the school district, but I'm also a big proponent. You got to be able to afford to live here. And we want to bring people to live here, then you have to make it affordable. And when you're talking about an extra $700 a year, and that's figured out by the school district in their proposal.
And that's an average based on assessed value of a home.
Assessed value of a home, which is $225,000, I believe.
That's the average.
That's the average. I mean, if you have any other investments, they have property tax, right? Their 21% increase in the city and a 28% increase in the county, that's for 30 years because they got to pay the interest on it.
And
so
if you
this
have
is a huge loan that we're paying over 30 years at $138 million.
And again, if you have a fair market value home in a million, it's probably going to be a higher assessed value.
Oh, definitely.
So those who have more expensive property will pay
double. Or triple.
Yeah,
and if you have more than one, if you have another, any other income, if you're a businessman and you own the property your business is on, you're going to get hit with that as well. And then also on top of that, you're forced inflation, because if you come down to whether it's a landscaper or a contractor or your local grocery store or any other local store, they're all getting hit with the same increase. And if they're renting, it doesn't make any difference because the landlord's going to get that increase. And you know as well as I do, the landlords invest to make money, and so that increase is going to get passed on. So what we've come against is affordable housing and then inflation and affordability just to live here. I want my next generations to enjoy what Florence has had to offer, and I want them to enjoy it like I enjoy it, but you have to be able to afford it to live here. And if we go down this path, it's a 30 years of, you know, you go to the bank and you know as well as I do, they say, okay, this is your lending power, this is how much money you can get, and this is how much you can buy a house for. Well, you just got knocked down by $60 a month. That's a lot of money over 30 years that you have to, that's taken out of your budget for buying a home. Your buying power just got weakened.
Now, the school's argument, or the Facilities Advisory Committee argument, is that the $120 million approximate that would cost to build a new campus is about the same or maybe even a little less than doing what they want to do at the school. What are you seeing that's different in those two figures there?
Well, if you take a building and you add everything that you dream of into an old building, that means you're basically going in there and gutting it, new construction, and you're adding, because it's a huge footprint that they want to add to the old school. Well, you're talking to an architect, so the architect's going to be, yeah, it's this much per square foot. It's about the same price as building new at this much a square foot. That's not the same thing as going to an electrician and saying, we have electrical issue, an HVAC person, a plumber, a contractor, and saying, we want to fix everything. Another school district similar to ours, Crestville School District, did everything they want to do here. They didn't do any add a bunch of extra stuff. They did it in 2023. They went out for a bond for $18.2 million and got $4 million from the state. They did seismic upgrades, point of entry safety across their entire district, and fixed everything in their 1967 high school, which is ours, is 1970.
It's a 3
built
years,
with the same design, same construction materials. And they did it for fractions of what it cost to do what is being proposed.
Well, the information that was given me, one of the things I want to address is that there is no state funding necessarily or federal funding to help with school construction. So it's going to be on the onus of the community to do this. So is that one of the big reasons why, obviously, frugalness is important? I mean, if the community is going to have to pay for it, and we're a largely retirement community. You know, I mean, we do have people that work here, but.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is fixed income and the sensibility. I mean, I understand that everybody wants to drive, obviously it's a farce, but let's say everybody wants to drive a Lamborghini, but they're driving a Subaru. Essentially, we don't need to go from, and I don't believe our school is a Subaru, but it's for argument's sake, essentially you're going from a Subaru to a Lamborghini.
Well, Subarus are good practical cars, by the
way. They are, and so is our school.
Yeah.
Very good and practical. It's a good example. A Lamborghini is an excessive. So that's my point. And what they're asking is that the community pay for something that would be wonderful to have, but not necessary.
One of the things that they said members of the facilities advisory committee said to me was that this will be an attraction for, you know, doctors, teachers, lawyers, everything to want to move to Florence. You disagree with that?
Well, the suggestion of the building perpetuating the education doesn't make sense to me. When somebody wants to move to an area, they look at the report card. You go to the state, you look to see how much better or worse it is compared to other schools that you may have an opportunity to go to. If that's what you're looking at and that's what counts, you don't look at it and say, what year was it born? What does it look like? Now, when you get down to the beginning of the fine-tune things, that might make the final straw difference if it was apples to apples. But if you want somebody to move here, the higher level of education you provide, their scores, their testing scores, their passing scores, their graduating scores, their inspiration to go into college, those kind of assistance, that's what a professional, in my mind, is going to choose. That's what I would look for. The building does not determine the education or the quality of education. The building is merely a tool to get you to that point.
So they're looking to get a bond set for May 19th. You know, it may or may not pass. What do you want people to know? What information do you want to give people so that they might be evenly knowledgeable about both sides of the story?
Well, so what I want you to put in your mind is, or think about, is like, okay, how much can everybody afford, your retired personnel, you and your future, those that want to buy a home, in perspective to how much do we expect the education system to give back to the community? The community supports education comes back. It goes both ways. So I don't think that our school district should be placed above the future of people living here, because that's what's going to happen. You're making affordable housing even further apart. If your housing costs that much more, nobody's going to come here anyway. So I guess I'm talking about affordability versus let's repair rather than replace.
They also said that when the school was originally built, they didn't necessarily use top of the line stuff. The HVAC system was not necessarily the best one that they could have used at that time, availability. I mean, is that fair to say that, you know, putting in a new HVAC system that is of the best quality will be the answer for this?
Oh, as far as the heating and air goes inside of the building, yes, you're going to have, there's some power issues. So you're going to have to spend a lot of money on bringing in an electrician. The whole thing needs to be wired for more than one reason. You know, everything has gone in a different direction as far as education goes. So now you got laptops, you need stronger internet. There's a lot of other learning tools that take money. Well, the thing is, the boiler is specific to one spot in the building. And they're correct. That boiler has failed. The valves are froze shut. They can't move it. I'm not going to argue that we don't need to fix the heating and air in the building. That needs to be done. Nobody can argue that if they've been in there, have kids in there. It needs to be corrected. But that doesn't mean you need to build a new building because you have a deteriorating system. That means you need to do electric upgrades. You need to do HVAC upgrades. There are some other upgrades. There's some plumbing upgrades, some bathroom remodel, locker room remodel stuff that needs to be done. But none of this is to the extent of we want a new cafeteria. We want a new auditorium. I mean, there's a list of things in there that
are in addition to what we already have.
Yeah, they're wants, but they're not needs. That's exactly what they are. So let's talk about what we need and what we want. Do we want it to cost our future and our housing to go up just to fix the wants, or do we just want to fix the needs? I'm a person that believes we just need to fix the needs, especially because when the school was built, It served 400 to 450 people in the 70s, and it went up to 500, 550 people in the 80s, and it peaked out in the 90s over 600 students. Where last year it was 384 students, and it's been on a continued decline, and there's no suggestion that we're going to have an increase in the amount of students. So we have the space. The space is there. How we utilize the space is one thing, but if it you had a classroom and you had a class of 620 kids, you can't tell me that 384 children are more cramped in the same building than 620. So that the logic is not there that we need to increase the size of the school.
And class size versus teachers and stuff like that?
I talked to my kids. They graduated school there. I talked to kids, the people in my generation. We don't have to date me. I talked to people that are older my generation that went to school there. And none of them complained about class size, and they're similar to the class sizes that we have there now. However, the core classes, reading, arithmetic, those are your core classes. There's only 13 students per core class, and that's stated from the school district. And the average in the state of Oregon is 23. So clearly, we don't need bigger classrooms because it's already been sustaining that since it was built in 1970.
For the core classes.
The other classes as well. Core class is 13. We clearly don't need bigger classrooms. But the class sizes have always been in the area of 20 or more. And that's what our average class size now is in the low 20s. And that's what it has been. And it's sustained that for 60 years.
And your research has shown you, or have you done the research to say, what would the general cost be to do the plumbing, HVAC, boiler, electrical? I mean, do we know that answer?
We do not know that answer, but I've done enough projects to have an idea, and it's nowhere. And that's why I brought up Cresswell 1967 school that did all these updates. It's nowhere near what it cost to replace the school. I mean, anybody in construction can turn around and tell you that. Be like, yeah, you get an electrician in there, even at prevailing wage, which it should be, they're in there. You're looking at $1 million tops to redo all the electric in the school. HVAC, $200,000 or less since the power drop's already been there because you'd have the electrician do it. The single point of entry safety thing, that's going to take a little bit more money. I don't know how much more money that is because we want that across the entire we want the security for our whole school. And then seismic upgrades need to be done. Like I said, that was done elsewhere. And you get a $6,100,000 or $200,000 compensation from the state on that. So we would have to pick up part of it, but the state would pick up part of that as well. There's also something I don't understand why they're not taking advantage of, and it has something to do with new construction tax that you can get to the city. And they've never taken advantage of it. And when you build like a new Fred Meyer's, a new Burger King, a new housing track, they have, it's like, I don't know what the percentage is. I can't speak to
that.
So
like a tax savings or something?
Yeah. No, it's tax that you pay when you do new construction, mm-hmm. that money can go to the school to offset whatever bond. And that hasn't even been researched. So I'm a little bit confused on that from what I read from other schools. You're touching things that aren't my expertise, but I do know that. Something excise tax, new construction excise tax. I don't know exactly what it is. I'll have to do more research on it. But there's money there that can be coming from this community, from new development, that could pay for the construction as well. And that's not in there at all. Hmm. So I'm a little bit, and maybe they didn't know about it. And I only found out it because I was researching other school districts in Oregon that have done these things, and they've taken advantage of that. And that's statewide done to the cities that the schools are in.
Well, there's going to certainly be, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of debate about this up until May 19th. And of course, people for and against, you're going to have to get out and vote if you want to see a change or if you want to see it not happen like that. We went through this once before.
Yeah, you can't be complacent. That's the thing. Oh, this is never going to pass. Oh, you're never going to pass. I hear that from a lot of people. Well, that gets you in trouble when you say, oh, it's never going to pass. I mean, when you think about $700 a year and you think, do I want to vote? Well, this is one thing. If you vote on nothing else and you want to save the $700 a year in your household, and I mean that for every household, if you rent a single house, it's the same $700 a year as if you own that house. Because like I said, the landlord is going to recoup it, plus inflation. No, it's zero money. They mail it to you for free. No postage to send it back. You mail it back. And if you don't vote on anything else, you take the time, if you want to save the money, mm-hmm. or for that matter, if you want the new school, let's respect the community as a whole. You want to make a difference, you got to vote on it. Mm-hmm.
And then that's how we know how the community feels.
Absolutely.
Is how the vote goes.
Right. And like I said, I'm not here because I'm opposed to anything to do with school. I think they're wonderful. I respect everybody there. And I respect everybody's efforts on either side. I just feel that the affordable housing, to me, is more important than a glamorous, beautiful, brand new school.
Yeah. Dave Twomley, thank you so much.